Okay, let's get back over into Galatians. And we're in chapter 5 and verse 10, where we left off. And Paul's writing this whole letter because of the false doctrines that have been introduced amongst the Galatians by false teachers, a seek to return to a reliance upon the law, rituals, and Paul was greatly concerned. And as we note time and again, he can't look at their heart. He doesn't know those who have truly been born again by the Spirit of God. And he had great concern for them, as he mentioned early on in this letter. And by the same token, after he goes through all this, he still has a confidence. And that confidence is not in them as individuals, but the confidence is in those who have truly been born again by the Spirit of God will be kept by the Lord. And in verse 10, that's what we brought us down to, where Paul said this: I have confidence in you through the Lord. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. Paul knew those that were truly the Lord's would be kept by him and would not finally and ultimately veer away from the truth. Now, none of us are perfect. None of us know all things. But those that are his, the Lord keeps and guides and provides and directs and keeps them from error, or gross error. And so Paul said, I have confidence in you. On the other hand, those folks who came amongst them and were spreading these false doctrines would give an account. Now, each of the individual Galatian saints are responsible as well. But these folks who came in as teachers and professed to be something that they weren't, proclaimed things that were not true, Paul addresses them again at the end of this verse, as he did earlier in the letter. He says, but he that troubleth you, that individual or those individuals, Paul had already addressed at the very beginning of the letter in Galatians 1 and verse 8, where he said, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know, this is our guide. This is our sure direction. And experience is not. You know what? Folks say, well, you know, I met an angel, and he told, and that's what Joe Smith said. And he told me this and that, and he gave me a magic book, and he gave me magic glasses, and I don't know if he did or not, but I'll tell you what, he was a false angel or a false prophet. And Paul said, if he teaches anything contrary to this book, and contrary to what you've received, let him be cursed. We need to be willing to step out and speak and reveal these sort of things. And so these folks had come in amongst the Galatians and had presented themselves under false pretenses. They said, yeah, you know, we're your friends, we're your associates, we were sent out by the church in Jerusalem. And time was, and this wasn't the first occasion that this happened, but when these false teachers had gone other places, the church in Jerusalem had written a letter to the Gentile brethren to expose these false teachers. Folks say, well, you shouldn't speak ill of any other religion or any other preacher or any of these other... Yes, you should! Particularly when they present themselves under false pretenses. And so the church in Jerusalem had written to the Gentile brethren on another occasion in Acts 15, verse 24, says, "Forasmuch as we have heard that certain went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, he must be circumcised and keep the law," which is exactly what was happening here in Galatia. And the saints in Jerusalem send this letter out, said these folks come in and say, you must be circumcised and keep the law. And at the end of verse 24, they say, to whom we gave no such commandment. They're not from us. Well, they claim to be. They make a false association. But to whom we gave no such commandment. Brother, we were talking about during the fellowship, you know, and folks that deal with things like the internet, or you can deal with things like politics, and folks, stop being so gullible. That's what Paul's really saying here. That's what the church in Jerusalem had to say. Stop being so gullible. Because some man, you know, stands up and claims to be the chosen one. Because some man stands up and, you know, tells you he's going to order companies to do this and that. And I see Christians that, you know, almost worship at his altar. Brother, that's just plain fascism written large. Time to wake up and open your eyes. And the spiritual realm and the political realm and the social realm and the moral realm. Stop being so gullible. All these folks come in and present themselves as something to whom we gave no such command. Talked about someone who got a phone call, was supposedly from one of my daughters. You know, so, Grandma, this is Heather. You know, I've been in an accident in Spain. Well, Heather wasn't in Spain, but it sounded like her. Grandma was willing to, about ready to help her out. And, you know, we want to help people out. But you need to be careful. Don't believe everybody that comes down the pike and claims to be something. Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth, the 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Oh, they may have a big following. They may have a big church. They may have big crusades. They may get great responses. But such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. They're not really. And Paul says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Brother, don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you see. You see an angel comes down and tells you something and it's not in accordance with his book. Don't believe it. And folks say, you know, don't believe what you hear, believe what you see. Don't believe everything you see. Because there's false apostles. There's deceitful workers. There's Satan transforming himself into an angel of light. Verse 15, Paul continues to the saints in Corinth. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness. Pulpits across this country are filled today with folks who have no inkling who Jesus Christ is or what he came to do. Some of them it's very evident. Some of them are a little more subtle. He says, and therefore it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They're going to get payback for what they've done. They're going to receive according to their works. Thankfully, a child of God's not going to have that happen, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But these false teachers, these In fact, most lost folks want to be judged by their works. You know, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I've tried to do right. I think my good will balance out my bad. No, you're not a good guy, and your good won't balance out your bad because of total hereditary depravity. The Lord, during his own ministry, spoke of those who would proclaim a false gospel and fall under the judgment of Christ. And Matthew 7, the Lord said this, and I'll begin reading in verse 15. Beware false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The Lord exposed false teachers. He didn't tolerate them. He didn't embrace them. You know, the Lord loved sinners, but these folks aren't. They don't think they're sinners. You know, they don't need a Savior. They're false teachers. They're ravening wolves. And he says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Listen, you're supposed to pay attention. You're supposed to be discerning. You want to call that judging? Fine, you're to judge fruit. We can't look at anybody's heart, but you better beware. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Look at all the great stuff we did. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Paul says, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment. An old Baptist preacher by the name of R.G. Lee was renowned for a sermon he preached, Payday Someday. R.G. Lee was a Southern Baptist preacher. I mean, the convention was never really organized according to the scriptural principle, but there was a time when Southern Baptist preachers believed something and preached stuff. There's not much of that going around today. But R.G. Lee would preach, Payday Someday. You know, he that's done this thing, as Paul says here, is going to bear his judgment. And again, it doesn't matter. He says, whosoever he be. Well, those folks that are applauded by the world, you know, the world-renowned evangelists, the mega-church preachers, you know, the folks who are supposed to be spiritual counsels to the president. You know, all these folks. Paul says, he shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Payday's coming someday. Paul wrote to the saints, and the Roman saints, in Romans 14, verse 11, whereas, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That ought to be a sobering thing. But it's probably not sobering for folks who deny God. or deny his essence. They may be transformed into ministers of the gospel. But they'll give an account someday. They'll bow a knee someday. Don't think that they're going to escape the judgment of God because of who they are or because of their place of prominence. All the reprobates are going to appear before the great white throne judgment of Christ. All the world are going to appear. Those that know him not. We read in Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Listen, there's a record being kept. God knows. No one else may. They may think they've hidden, but God has recorded these things. And they'll each give an account, as Paul says. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That was the fate of all those who stand before the great white throne, judged according to their works. I don't want to be judged according to my works. On the other hand, the last verse of that, verse 15 of chapter 20 says this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. See, those appeared before Christ whose name were not in the book of life. That book was open, but their name's not there. The other books are open, which records the deeds of their life, and they're judged according to those deeds. Those in the book of life from eternity are not judged according to the deeds written in the other books. But they're judged by the completed work of Christ. In Revelation 3, we read this in verse 5. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The overcomers. Who are they? The ones whose names are written in the book of life. The ones who have been born again by the Spirit of God. 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, not by their will, not by their decision, not by their wish, but born again by the Spirit of God. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Not in our own strength. We couldn't. But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That faith that we're given as a gift, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he that overcometh the world, verse 5? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. No one can say that except they've been given that of the Spirit. No one can know that unless they've been given that of the Spirit. But those who deny who Jesus Christ are have no part in this. Oh, they may be ministers. They may wear a robe. They may wear the finery. They may be given honor where they go and respect. But if they believe not that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they'll perish in their sins. The Lord said, except you believe that I am, you shall perish in your sins. And the only one that can bring us to see that, to acknowledge that, and to know that is the Spirit of God. and faith of Christ has given us to embrace it. Revelation 13, verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Here we see the preservation of the saints. These false teachers are going to give an account. They're going to bear their judgment. The saints are preserved. They don't worship the beast, for their names are written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Their names aren't written in the book because they don't worship the beast. No, they don't worship the beast because their names are written in the book. Just like we're not made a child of God because we believe. We believe because we're a child of God. Revelation 17 and verse 8. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Listen. Used to sing a song at one time. Didn't know any better. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. There's not a new name written down in glory. It was written from before the foundation of the world. Now, it'll be ultimately revealed in eternity. And I think to an extent it's revealed in time to our own hearts and our own lives, as the Holy Spirit gives us life and causes us to embrace the gospel of our salvation. But our name's not written down then. It's written down from before the foundation of the world. The bad stuff's coming to this world. But the child of God doesn't have to worry, well, I'm afraid I might worship the beast. Not if you're a child of God, you won't. They don't worship the beast because their names is written down in the book of life. And those are the folks who, by the grace of God, will inhabit the new heavenly Jerusalem. Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Those whose names are in the book of Lamb's book of life will not appear before that great white throne. When men are judged out of the books according to their works, and when they're cast into the fire. But let me note before I conclude this, it doesn't mean the redeemed are not going to give any kind of an account. We're going to give an account of the deeds done in the flesh. We're not going to be ultimately judged by that. But we're going to give an account before the Lord of how we lived our lives. That ought to be sobering. We're already secure in Christ, but we'll stand before Him. And I always likened it until I said, you know, when I was in the Marine Corps and had to stand before a colonel or a general and have my heels locked and give an account. You know? Why'd this happen, Captain? Except this. This time, the Lord, He knows it all. He knows everything. There won't be any excuses. There won't be any making up things. Paul says to the saint in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to answer to our Lord. We're accountable. We're responsible. It's all, I understand, under God's providence and under God's decree. But we're accountable. We're responsible. Paul says to the saints in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. See, you think we got stuff we hide, no one knows, or maybe we do stuff that no one knows about, that good or bad. Paul says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Our work is judged by fire. Not us, but our works. If any man's work abide, which he hath builded thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Scriptures talk about crowns, and what we're going to do with those crowns is cast them at the feet of the Savior, because we aren't the ones who really earned them. If any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But listen here. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is the fire. Listen. Those whose names are written in the book of life, they're kept by the Savior. They're in the hands of the Savior and of the Father. But it doesn't mean we're not going to give an account. So these false teachers give an account, yes, but we give an account. And it's even more humbling, more sobering, more fearsome when we are in the role of a preacher or a teacher, a place of authority where we instruct others. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You see, the preacher is to be found faithful. He's a steward. He accounts, it's not his message. But with me, Paul says, it is but a very small thing that I should be judged of you. For of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Now Paul's going to get up into that the next verse on. You know, these folks were making false accusations against him and saying things about them. Paul says, I'm not worried about them. I'm not concerned about how I'm judged by you. For I know nothing of myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Now that ought to be a sobering thing. Folks say today, you know, when you look at sin and call sin sin, they say, well, you shouldn't judge. That's not what's meant in Scripture by that. We already saw about judging fruit. But it's, oh, you shouldn't judge. You shouldn't judge. Listen. Now, only God can judge me. You hear these reprobates, people that are living a life of open sin, say, only God can judge me. Well, they ought not be so flippant about that. Read what happens before the great white throne. And they are judged, and they're cast in the lake of fire. It's serious and it's real. And so, I think I'll probably have to continue this on a little bit more next week, but I want to talk a little bit about, you know, giving an account as a pastor, as a teacher, as one that's called of God. That's sobering. And it's humbling. And I often say, I wish y'all had a better preacher, but I don't know where he is right now. When he comes along, I'll be happy to sit out there someplace. And it wouldn't be hard to come up with one, but I just don't know where it is. But we're held account for what we preach, for what we teach. We have, scriptures even speak of a greater account or judgment. And so, serious stuff. We'll touch on that next week before we go on to the next verse. We're Paul addresses those who are making false accusations against them. Listen, if you tell the truth, folks are going to say bad stuff about you, and they're going to make false accusations. And, you know, it shouldn't surprise us. It's kind of like water off a duck's back. Okay, let's take our hymnals and stand and sing a closing hymn together, number 3, Under His Wings, number 3. I'm safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust Him, I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am strong. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever. Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings what a refuge in sorrow, how the heart yearningly taps His breast. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever. Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, oh what precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever. Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your love that spanned eternity. For those You chose before they were, before time was. Lord, from no merit that was found within them, but all by Your grace. Lord, we thank You for the salvation that was wrought in Christ. We thank You, Lord, for the truth that we're kept under Your wings and that we're kept eternally. Oh, we know there's payday someday, that men will give an account. Those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be judged by their deeds, and none will stand before that judgment. We thank You, Lord, that Your chosen children had their names written in the Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Or we also realize that we'll give an account for the deeds that we've done in the flesh. Lord, not to determine our eternal destiny. That was done before we were. But Lord, to determine the rewards that might be received, rewards that aren't ours, and that we cast the Savior's. Lord, may we be found faithful. By your grace, may we have crowns to cast at his feet. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that you know and keep those that are yours. We pray that you might be pleased to use us to your glory, to keep us from error, to keep us in the way. Go with us as we go our way. Be with all your children that's coming. We pray in the precious name of our Savior. Amen.